See, that's what's concerning me, that you are using the computer audio.
I think because it's coming into the aux by the aux cord, this is the computer audio as opposed to...
Okay.
I mean, we heard it, right?
Yeah.
That makes us now okay.
You're good.
Oh, that's it.
Okay.
All right. I'll text you.
Text me if there's a problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Pardon me? Can we steal some tape here?
What, regular tape or?
Yeah.
Or for that?
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can everyone take their seats? We will start in 1 minute. All right, we're going to start in 15 seconds. Everyone, please take your seat. Welcome, Joe, Ian. Okay, it's 4:45. We'll start with the roll call. John, can you get this?
Thomas Ball. Dale Barbarian. Alex Chowdhury. Olivia Korn. Renee Cornell. Harun Bivaka. Omar Dean. Osai Agarepa.
Present.
Iris Hassan. Rebecca Hers. Matthew Indomini. Sushruta Giravanti. Gabriel Kaufman. Savannah Lim. Lee Lipschitz. Debbie Niakaru. Sarah Park. Grace Park. Marco Parappa Ochoa. Samantha Rivera Zavala. Christopher Schott.
Here.
Evan Shapiro. Jaywon Sim. Dara Tokumbo. Myra Valdez. Ian Watts. I'm sorry?
Hi, I'm here. Thank you.
My apologies.
Thanks. We'll go on to the microphone.
Are there any members of the community at this time that would like to speak? With that, we will be closing the microphone.
I will be going right into announcements and reports.
So we're going to start doing liaison updates just for accountability reasons. So specifically, every 2 weeks after your respective meeting, when it comes to the EA, the UBA, the GPSA, as well as the Faculty Senate, the liaison should be presenting reports on what has been undergone. We will also be, I think, I'll send out an email for for this Sunday, we'll be having a meeting for all of the liaison positions, or next Sunday, to go over all the liaison positions. So that includes like undergraduate transportation, or transportation hearing and review board, slope day programming board, so on and so forth. If people have been in these positions and have not really fulfilled their roles, we'll find out and we'll likely revote on these positions. Thank you.
And next is Sarah from the Club Fest.
Hi, so I sent out an email about this. The newsletter is going to get sent out early next week, so if you have anything you'd like to advertise, just send it to me by the end of today. Also, Club Fest is on Sunday from 1 to 4. So if you haven't already, you can sign up for a slot. And also, if there's anything you want to advertise regarding any initiatives you're working on or your committees, also send that to me by the end of the day.
Thank you. Later addition to announcements, Chris.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to update the Assembly on some new services that the Cornell International Students and Scholars Office is offering to international students. I think this is the result of some of the work we've been doing with VP of International Affairs, Laura Spitz, over the last semester. So the ISSO will be offering walk-in mental health counseling sessions every Monday from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. in their temporary location on Search A on the agricultural quad. And they will also be offering a series of career workshops for international students, focused particularly on work authorization in the U.S. job market, and also how to find positions both in the U.S. and internationally. So,
Thank you. Also, I collected this at the beginning, but I would like everyone to welcome Shivani, who is the new liaison from RSD. We'll go into presentations by Mines. Okay, so we are now here. We'll skip that for now and go straight to business of the day. Resolution 25.
basically, we are currently able to distribute the New York Times at 6 different locations. We will have been doing it at 5. You can read that in the first whereas clause of this resolution where it has been sort of redistributed. We thought that there would be better areas to distribute this, and we wanted to add one more. So we then exactly discussed the pros and cons in multiple areas, and this is what we decided on. Noise for West Campus, RKCC for North Campus, Wood Street Hall for Central Campus, Stafford Hall for Central Campus, Farman Hall for Central Campus, and Mann Library for the Academic Hall. If you have any questions or suggestions about what you want to ship around, feel free to post me or exactly what you want to call any reasonable areas well located. Otherwise,
I'm gonna parse the question.
Do we consider putting one in the engineering part? Is that what we have?
Yeah, so we did. It's currently actually there's one in the field, but we thought that it would be more appropriate to place it in Stafford and Wood Street for sort of the central campus area, just because of the
I was actually confused before too, but if you guys just look at the first browse clause, it shows that
Is there going to be any advertising to show people where the change locations are? Because I know people on the engineering board have already solved it, and they're probably not going to know where
it is. Yeah, we'll be advertising.
All right, voting. All those in favor? Is your placards? All those against? Abstentions? Chair abstains. So that's 20-0-1. It passes. What? Okay, so next is resolution 26.
Okay, so basically, if you guys, I think everyone's familiar with this summer experience grant, student sponsor, I won't get too nitty gritty with it, but basically, the summer experience grant has seen a lot. And so, because of the sort of influx of applications, we wanted to augment the amount of money that was in that budget. So, we had a debate internally within the SA at the end of the semester, last semester, and that debate was whether or not to defund the SA completely for the next 2 years, or to allocate 87 cents of the budget towards the summer experience. And so after a lot of debate, a lot of heat, we eventually negotiated and we got 87 cents for the summer experience grant.
So just to clarify and reiterate kind of what's on this new resolution, essentially we gave a lot of money to Annabelle's 2 years ago when they opened, and we lost a ton of our endowment. We lost $320,000. And so taking that into consideration, and also the fact that this past spring was the second year that the Summer Experience Grant was available to all 7 colleges, and we saw a significant increase in applications. And so what that means essentially is that we are able to give less students awards, and our acceptance rate really this past year was less than 10%. And we anticipate that will be lower this year. Unfortunately, this resolution only gives us money for next year and the year after, not this spring. But it does address some of the concerns that we had during conversations in the financial industry community. So yeah, this is just essentially putting in writing what we came to consensus about at the last meeting.
So just to clarify, this is an internal policy action. This is not any sort of legislation. So what we're doing is we're recommending the Appropriations Committee when they go through the process and amending the Appendix B changes this semester to incorporate this into those amendments. And just like a last note, because this is something that is within sort of the bylaw funding rules, and we're only able to hold 100% for the next 2 years, I really encourage the younger members of the Student Assembly to recognize what's happening right now, just so when we're gone, for next year, great, we'll be able to discuss this again. But after that, when we're gone, we really need to follow up the amount of money in the summer experience. But I hope that you guys can figure out a way to continue.
All right, thank you. First on the speakers list is Gabe.
Yeah, so this has to do, like, I understand that not everyone was here last semester. Basically, the SA is expected to live off of the surplus that it currently has for the next 2 years. So all this resolution is doing is recommending to the Appropriations Committee that when it is going through and regulating, you know, each of the campus organizations, that the SA specifically take all the money it's given, all 87 cents per student, and put it all toward the summer experience grant so that it will only have $0 from the activity fee to fund itself. Does everyone get that's like what's happening? Okay, the other thing I wanted to say is that the only reason we're doing this is because we only had 15 people at the meeting to pass the student, to approve the activity fee allocation to the SA. So we needed to strike a deal that had unanimous consent. And so I'm we should vote for this because we agreed to it. But I want to be very clear that this was two people basically stalled the whole freaking process because, the SA should have gotten zero. I felt like I had to say that because the SA should have gotten zero money. I want it to be on record. But we're doing this because attendance was low. So remember, show up to the meetings. Otherwise, we're going to give away $20,000 extra. Like, that can happen. So, yeah.
Yes.
All right. So I'd like to give some historical context of the Financial Aid Review Committee because I recognize that a lot of we have some new people and a lot of members on the Senate frankly don't know what the Financial Aid Review Committee does. So part was on the fund on a byline cycle up until about 2008 when we voluntarily got off of the fund because of the financial crisis. Prior to that, we were getting about a dollar per student, which helped grow our endowment, right? And since then, we haven't been on byline, but there was an unspoken agreement. It was over email, essentially, that we wouldn't need to collect the 1,500 signatures that it takes to get back on byline. And because of miscommunications and things of that nature, last semester we weren't able to get on byline. So I think this is a step towards getting on byline again. And while I do recognize that we went ahead and after a lot of the controversial byline agreements that we came to last semester, that we came to an agreement to give ourselves money. And so that was controversial, right? But at the end of the day, the money is going to the Summer Experience Grant, which funds grants for low-income students who are taking unpaid internships over the summer. So this is not going to us. I want to make that clear. This is going to the student body who pays into the student activity.
Thank you. That's Zolar. Chris?
I just wanted to speak to the notion that Gabe proposed that we're dumping this money down the drain, because we're definitely not. Just to add to my point, as a personal recipient of this grant, this allows people to do amazing work in unpaid internships. Like, I worked at Kent, was able to improve nutrition for hundreds of people, really lead an amazing development project there. And I know there's many other amazing internships that happen and amazing projects that get done through this grant. And again, this was only given out to 3 people last year, so maybe next year we'll be able to do this. give it out for 40 people, which is awesome. And I think it's a really, really great investment of the money, and I'm glad that the situation Dave just described actually came to pass, because it, you know, gives more students the opportunity to do this great work.
All right, we're going to voting. All those in favor? All those against? Abstentions? 520 is what's one that passes. Congratulations. Before we go to the next exhibition, for the Minds Matter of Asking Live, I want to, because I don't know how long the method of resolution will take, so I'm going to have a presentation first, if no one objects.
You guys have to
be here. Yes, I've got it. Yes, welcome. Yeah, Lauren. Yes,
sir.
Yeah, so Maroon's going to send it to everyone. You guys are permitted to have it. Oh, it's okay. Oh, I see, I see. Also, during the presentation, if any committee members also have a comment or a question, just raise your hand and I'll get you out. Yeah, sure.
Right. So just like an announcement that Annabelle's is open again, so encourage your constituents and your friends to go to Annabelle's. It's in Annabelle Taylor Hall. It's in the basement. I do not know the hours off the top of my head, but follow Annabelle's Grocery on Facebook.
Awesome. All right. We'll start the presentation.
You guys can hear us fine. Yeah, fine. Want me to
use mine? Yeah. Yeah, that'd be better. Just a mic for the recordings.
Sounds good.
All right. So, thank you guys for having us here today. We're on Minds Matter. I'm Stuart Beach, the VP of Outreach. I'm Matt, VP of Events. We just wanted to come here today to talk to you guys more about what Our Minds Matter is doing, because not a lot of people know actually what we're doing on campus and what it reaches. And we want to really discuss how we as an organization, as well as you guys as an organization, can help. And we should help each other from better mental health on this campus.
Yeah, so just to get a better understanding of what CMM is, our mission statement is posted here, and we have four main goals. One of them is to help students de-stress, and that can come in a variety of different ways, typically through the events we do, but also the support that we give to different students through different events that we'll go through to kind of give you a better idea. Another thing that we really focus on is decreasing the stigma around mental health, which is a big issue on our campuses, which you probably already know. Promoting self-care for students and teaching them valuable ways that they can take care of themselves so that they can do it by themselves and also have support if needed. And then also act as a liaison between staff, students, administration, student assembly, and other forms of things that make it hard or untouchable for students to get in contact with on campus. So every presentation usually gives you statistics, so just a statistic about mental health and suicide. It's the second leading cause of death on college campuses, but it's not that college is necessarily like killing young people. Between the ages of 18 to 24, that is common. That is the statistic for the second leading cause of death. So there's clearly something going on, and our job is to figure out how we can better assess statistics like that so it doesn't become a reality for us. As many of you probably know, you've heard jokes about this being a suicide school, things like that, from early 2010 when we had a lot of issues with mental health on campus. And CMM is working to address that better. So 25% of college students experiencing mental health disorder, and that means one in four of the people that you're walking around seeing today are probably dealing with something, and our job is to get that. So does anyone want to give a word that they think of when they hear the word mental health? You can just yell it out. Anxiety, depression,
stress, tension.
All right, thank you. Any other words? Sadness? Okay. So basically, I ask that because when you think about mental health, you want to be able to have an honest discussion about it and know the jargon and the terminology that's being used around it. And if you think about it, no one said anything positive. Everyone said signs and deleterious mental health and mental health problems and mental health challenges. And our goal is to not only address those challenges that students are facing, but also figure out ways that we can help debunk the stigma that mental health is only negative. Because mental health is a big physical health. When you think about physical health, you probably don't think about all the bad things about physical health. So we want to create a narrative that is positive for mental health. Something on Cornell's campus is kind of like the Cornell culture. You're like standing in line at five with someone, and someone's like, oh, I have a prelim, and you're like, oh, I have a prelim and a paper, and they're like, oh, I have a prelim and a paper in the lab before, oh, I have a prelim and a paper in the lab before, and I have to like be on like student assemblies, whatever, like all these different things, and everyone's just going back and forth, competing about who's more stressed. And that's kind of the culture that we have here, that competitive nature, that it's natural to pull all-nighters nature, and we're trying to work to fix some of that. Oh, sorry, I don't have my work technology, so. Oh, laptop, okay.
Got like a slant view, kind of like. Awesome. So a lot of this is centered around increasing the publicity towards mental health stuff that we have involved on campus, those resources that we have on campus, other major groups like that. A lot of people actually don't seek help for their mental health issues. That's kind of a common trend. Very common trend that we often like disregard is just kind of normalized. We definitely are just like, oh, like I might feel like bad today about maybe a breakup or a test, something like that, but I'm not going to really do anything about it. I'm just going to talk to you about it and be like, oh yeah, I'm feeling pretty shitty. So that's really one big thing we're trying to address, trying to create that culture change. It involves a lot of different things. It's also about not having a problem. It's about a fluid thing. It's mental health spectrum. It's a state of well-being which every individual realizes is their own potential, and all these other things here. I'm not going to go specifically into it, but it's really about fulfilling your own self. And so, what is CMM doing on campus to address these challenges? A lot of our organization and our events are centered around trying to create this culture change, as well as provide a space for people to discuss mental health issues and find ways that we as a campus can change together. So a lot of that's about outreach, policy, mental health education, large events, series events, and individual projects. Those are kind of the main themes or fields that we're trying to address this semester.
I'm vice president of outreach, and that includes everything that happens on a large scale outside of CMM and the internal circus, so things that you see as events from CMM. And a lot of that includes tabling and increasing awareness of mental health, as well as distressing events like family planting and like stressful making, just little ways to get some time off of the larger stressors. Another one we ran around sometimes is the candy you get for prelims, and also providing consistent support. These are more of the ways that we work to debunk the stigma by doing things that don't consciously maybe relate to mental health, but help support your mental health while you're on campus.
Awesome. So I'm going to go into a bit of our season events. These are staples of CNM. A lot of you guys know, hopefully know about these, yoga, Zumba. Hoga Fridays is more of an education series. Specific mental health issue, as well as provide free lunch. The room is a discussion group on depression that allows people with depression or without to come and discuss some issues. Procrastinate is great, more you know, fun, distressing event, bringing dogs, being cool. Lead with Access Group, another one of these discussion based groups that's way more ethical than a lot of these other events because they allow people to discuss their issues together in a community where they find strength. As well as helping disorder community series that stem from us too. We talk a lot about how you know, anorexia or bulimia or any of these other diseases affect our lives and health, as well as body positive mental health. This is a project that actually stemmed from Kuwaitis Center and is now taken on by Kuwaitis Fitness Centers as well to support body image and healthy discussion about body image and how it relates to mental health. All right, so community engagement. We do a lot of different community outreach events now. We're really partnering with the Sophie Fund to try to get more advocacy-centered around well experience as well as how it relates to depression and individual struggles. Suicide Prevention Walk, a lot of these support events are basically community events where we come together as a community and support different sources of resources outside of Cornell and how we can bridge the gap and allow them to synergize these relationships. Community and outreach sources that are kind of overstaffed at Cornell, as we've all heard in recent news, and bring these people on campus to support the event.
Another thing we do is mental health education, and that provides formalized education opportunities for students to learn more about their mental health and how to be an advocate for other students. So that includes Behind Happy Faces, which is a curriculum on mental health. We presented it for three communities, sports communities, pre-medical societies, minority groups and organizations on campus, and anyone else who basically asked us to facilitate. And so far, we have about six people coming up for this semester in different groups that have reached out already. Other things that we're working on, body positive that we've already spoken about, as well as thinking about resilience and thriving. If anyone knows Kathy Bell, pastor, she's on campus, and she really works closely to this. That's the type of work that we do as well. We're also starting to work with Friend to Friend, if anyone's familiar with that, and start to teach people to see it on that so that they can be an advocate for other people on campus. Another thing we do is individual projects. So those usually are aimed at just increasing mental health awareness around campus. Just last semester, we had a people of color presentation, which basically allowed people of color to express their mental health and debunk stigma related to minority groups. Which is a group that has a lot of health disparities in the mental health area. Usually comes in the form of photo campaigns or stories or any different project that students who are already part of CNM or interested in CNM have or willing to provide our resources to help them increase awareness about mental health on campus.
Awesome. So I'm going to talk to you guys about some of our new initiatives and how you guys can evolve and see this relationship going in the future with Kuwaitis Adam and Suicide Center. So a lot of our initiatives are just getting started. A lot of them are going to be very localized and publicized to the Cornell community. We want everyone to be involved. We don't want this to be just a CMM thing. We want it to be a whole campus. Because nothing's going to change if you don't have every single voice on campus discussing their issues as well as bringing their voice to the forefront of what we need to change on this campus. So one of these things, this is more of an individual project. It's any person, any story. Basically, it's a collaborative effort where we want students to come forward to talk about their experiences with mental health. I want to speak out to people on substance abuse. That's been very empowering for me, as well as I think a lot of people to come and discuss their vulnerabilities in an open space, whether that's acceptable. And we want that to be publicized throughout social media. We want a chance for people to come to terms with their mental issues, as well as embrace people, find strength in similar struggles, stuff like that, through online. Another thing we're trying to do this semester is a community events health gala. We could definitely use those sponsorship on that, right? If you guys want to do that. We really want that to be an event where we all come together and celebrate mental health and donate those funds to the SOAP Fund or another mental health group outside of campus that could hopefully see those funds being used to benefit both Cornell students and the community. Another thing we're doing in education, we really want to expand our educational reach. We want a lot of people get education. We want faculty, we want staff, we want students, we want any kind of person that wants it to receive it. Because we really think that once we start this education initiative, we're going to have more people really think critically about mental health and ways that they can improve themselves, as well as how they can improve from the community members. Another thing that isn't up here that I really wanted to talk about is another thing that we're trying to do. This isn't CMM specifically, this is more of an individual thing that I want to do and I want to start with. The whole Cornell community doesn't have to have a co-sponsorship or anything, I just want representation throughout the campus. It's a mental health task force, and that task force will be specifically tasked with making recommendations and reviewing the current policies in place at Cornell. This is a big initiative that I think will start relatively soon, and but the thing about it is that it's going to be something that needs to have total support. It needs to be with the administration. I think this is something we've done in the past where we tend to demonize administrations. Some things they're doing wrong are apparent, and we know that. But I think in order for us to make a difference on this campus, we need to acknowledge that we need to work with the administration. And that's going to be one of the biggest things. And I want to have this policy task force be about analyzing critically what's going on this campus and figuring out ways we can work and recommend the administration to make those changes, because the administration is gonna like see it. As you guys saw, if you guys have read the Sophie Con article, it's criticizing what the administration is doing, how the independent review from the Jed Foundation is actually not independent. A lot of this stuff, we as students have this power, and we have this place in Cornell that we can make a change going forward. I think what we need to do is come together and have students critically work with the administration, both painting their, painting where the weak spots are, as well as acknowledging that they are doing things. And once we get that, once we do that approach, we're able to manage it. So again, those things are going to be that task force we'll be coming out within the next few days. I'm partnering with some other people on campus, and I'd love people on the SA to be a part of that, if not vocalizing that to other people outside the campus. It's going to be a big initiative, and I hope you guys can make a little bit of that as well. And yeah, so SA is, partnership for the future. I really think you guys can be, very open communication with us. I know Matt in the past was on Twitter, but then he switched more over to the SA. But I think what we really want from you guys is to, bring us on board with the things you're doing. Continue to reach out to us for co-sponsorship, co-signing, resolutions, anything of that. I know I've been doing some in the past. I really want this relationship to be mutual. I want us to, open a dialogue on mental health on campus. As we see it in the news lately, it's a big thing. I think us as together, as you guys, as student leaders, representatives of the students, as well as Cornell Events Matter, the agent for change, we can find a way to have everyone and every voice heard. And that's really, support resolutions, funding projects, if you guys have special funds for that, we love that, as well as, continuing co-sponsoring events and having representatives. I think having you guys serve as a way for us to hear the student voice and how we can make that student voice.
Thank you.
I feel free to reach out to us with questions. I'm sure I'm going to be in contact with a lot of you and a lot of you guys. I really appreciate you guys being here. So, thank you.
One more thing. CMM is currently in recruitment for the spring and their open application. So if you know anyone who's interested in mental health advocacy, looking up Cornell Minds Matter on Facebook, you can get an application link and come to info sessions, find out more, and find out where you can create change in CMM and eventually on this whole campus. So, thank you.
Thank you guys. We do have both questions. So then, first through.
So first thing regarding co-sponsorships, I'll actually forward you a link to our co-sponsorship form. It's a little annoying in the process, but you can get through it. And so the second thing, you definitely hit one of the questions that I was going to ask about your partnership with both student boards as well as your advocacy towards the administration, because we had CAPS presented last week, and so we learned a little bit about student input there. It was a little underwhelming to hear that we really wasn't that much. So Dale and I last week spoke about how we wanted to essentially bring the student health benefits advisory. It has a lot of names, and we wanted to ensure that it was being approached in a productive manner, because historically there's been sort of, it's been defined within a lot of our texts, but it hasn't really been productively used per se. So even though it's there, it hasn't been, I don't think I'm doing justice to describing it.
It only means when the administration wants to say it meant to give approval to something the administration is doing, but otherwise it doesn't mean for general.
So when it comes to that, we wanted to come up with a way in order to actually allow for student input, and we wanted to actually structure this organization. We want to partner with you in that effort as well. So regarding that, what sort of progress have you made with the task force that you're prescribed right now?
Yeah, so I had an application. I haven't released it yet because like my co-lead on the project was struggling with this disaster with flu that we've all, I'm sure, have had friends that have, you know, been bedridden for a couple of days. But that's going to be released soon. There's going to be some information sessions coming out about what that, you know, the specific structure of that task force will entail. I've been to conferences. One of the largest ones for mental health is the Active Minds Conference. It's like a group that has multiple different like structures on campus. It's one of the largest in the nation. And there I wrote about a policy recommendation outline in which structures like how to approach research within administration. And a lot of that was like a lot of the central themes like the pushback from administration. So what you mentioned about the Student Health Benefits Advisory Committee, that that group is very much like working with administration to, you know, kind of do campaigns, stuff like that. But what our task force would be a structure that, you know, would hopefully achieve this sort of independent review of the current mental health policies that are in structure and act well, as well as the systems that are here. So basically what we're gonna try to do is get representation from multiple different students, both diversity and breadth in terms of, you know, years as well as, you know, backgrounds, organizations, stuff like that, so we can get a say in how organizations can come together and, you know, see mental health within their specific communities as well as ML structurally. This review, it's a difficult process. This thing's going to take, I think, upwards to a year, because it's definitely a process that involves researching the current systems that are in place, interviewing people that are in these major positions that, you know, are responsible for overseeing these systems, as well as, you know, getting student voices, getting narratives and testimonies on what could be better. And I've been in conversation with a lot of different community groups, but I don't think this has to be something where it's like us versus administration. We have to approach it as something that is bringing up the administration and reflecting critically on what the administration is doing well and reflecting critically on what's not.
So just to clarify, the task force is primarily focused on review of the current project.
Yes, it's a review and also forming some sort of recommendation document that hopefully the administration can take and run.
Thank you. Sarah?
Can I actually check both my questions? So, you know. But I think just specifically regarding the task force, if the primary role is to review policies, at least on our end, we're trying to restructure like this advocacy committee, it might make sense for us to test this or try to connect you to health and wellness because they are broader in scope but they deal with more issues. So if you're interested, I can give you the contact information to the future.
Yeah, I'd definitely be interested in that. So shoot me a time.
Dave.
Hi. Yeah, I think that this is all really good one. You know, what I wanted to, you know, make sure is on everyone's radar is, and I think I might have mentioned this to you a couple months ago, is, you know, I think you're funded at like $2 per student I think you should like get at least a little bit more money, but we can only fund you as much as you request. So I would encourage you over the next year to really think about how you can spend like a little bit more money so that, you know, come the next filing cycle, you're prepared to explain, you know, what you could spend that. And you don't have to have an answer now. That was just something I wanted to be reflected in the minutes.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. We spoke about that last time at our bylaw funding meeting, and it's something that we've been thinking about. We've also been doing a lot of internal changes in CNM. We've got a change in leadership, and it's been really working for us. So that's where all the new initiatives come from, and we'll definitely need money to do that. So as we continue to expand our new number of budget, it's something that we'll definitely come back with this year. So thank you.
Horace?
Hey guys, just had a quick question. Oh, also, thank you so much for your presentation. I think it's all worked a lot. I didn't have any idea of what all the different things are going on. Just had a quick question about the publicity of the stuff that you guys said is on a series basis, especially stuff that happens weekly or bi-weekly. Like, where is that all publicized in terms of location and time and so on?
So that information is widely disseminated on email, but we're trying to work on CMM getting more like involved in people knowing about the spread on our campus. So the Denise and Sarah email gets sent out, and it's sent there. CMM is a listserv with hundreds of people on it. And a couple other places, but we're really working on like, creating more awareness, updating our website more often on Facebook, creating a social media presence on our Instagram being revamped. There are a lot of other jobs going on right now to increase awareness. We notice that there are a lot of events going on campus that are by CNN and like, people don't know that. So we want to increase that.
Cheryl? I actually have two questions. So first is, have you ever considered partnering with CAPS, or have you done it in the past at all?
So since we're a student organization, we try to keep to being a student organization, and with mental health, it can be a tricky subject, a tricky topic to deal with students, and sometimes there's a stigma associated with literally CAPS or Cornell Health as a building. So we try to keep ourselves on the advocacy and student side by being something for students that doesn't necessarily have the brand name. Health on it, or like, you know, medicine, something like that. But it's a place that you can be yourself, be free, and like kind of take mental health if you want to and not get institutionalized there. So yeah, we have a great like relationship with Dr. Beals, but we try to keep these things separate to make it a safe space and have students have different options of where they would like to see help and support on campus.
My second question is, I think you said that the Jet Foundation review is not independent. I'm correct. Can you just explain what you meant by that?
Yeah, I can speak on that. That might have been like it's a generalization that I made. I'd like to speak fast. A lot of people know that it's necessarily that I kind of ramble on a bit. But there's been views that this Jet Foundation thing is not independent because some people have a stake in the Jet Foundation. Specifically, Dr. Gregiels is sitting on the board. So that kind of brings into question the independency of this review. I think what we want to do is approach it from a student perspective, bring in that student voice as well as critique it from that student perspective. That in the end is just really out here for the students. We don't have any, you know, I think in a blanket statement, like we're not funded, you know, to like do this review. We're doing it because we want to create the change that's going to be. And that's really where, how we're approaching. Yeah, that's the motivation behind it.
Joe?
So it's actually really fun. So I'll introduce myself. I'm one of the UA representatives and also the chair of the Campus Welfare Committee of the UA. It's funny that you brought up the policy task force that you want to start because we are starting our own policy review of Cornell Health policies related to mental health because we can ask for those documents. Support charge to make sure that they can physically hand them over. So, you know, any sort of collaboration that we can possibly do to have you in the room when that happens is 100% beneficial because we have that formalized ask, and if they don't give it to us, they have to explain why within that 30-day period. So, again, I would love to reach out, I'd love to connect with you, make sure that we're kind of collaborating and making sure that we're not double dipping and running around in circles.
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely with in terms of the rise of mental health organizations on campus, it's important that we as an organization collaborate more than, you know, try to, you know, start our own things, you know, try to make it seem like one organization is taking it over. And that's why this review is really going to be something that is run by students. I'm not like
when this is released, it's not Front of Minds Matter thing. It's just someone who, it's two people that want to you know, get a group of students together to create a change. So definitely going to reach out to you. Feel free to see me after the meeting and we'll exchange contact information. So.
Grace?
Hello. I just wanted to ask, have there been any efforts that you bring the activity outside of Central Campus, like to AAPU or the engineering quad, so that for people who have studios or labs that will be able to come all the way to Central Campus, have there been any efforts to reach out to students like that?
Yeah, so we try to program in different areas on campus, and that's another thing that we've been working to change in the past. A lot of our events used to be held over here at Lakeshore Hall, and that was just not exclusively it. But now we find ourselves in program houses, which is where we can get to a lot of diverse communities and populations that may not see Yale until we're not coming to them. So just last year, I was putting program in each of our residential college. We've also been in RPCC. We've had events there for the past 2 years. Appel, also going to West Campus, so going to where students stay in their homes, because then we can hit diverse populations that anyone from AAP or engineering can all live in, like better house or something. So like going to different housing options right now has been our way of doing things. But we'd also be really interested in like going to different campuses and colleges. Speaking of like engineering, women in computing at Cornell, we work with them that have a really diverse population out of different students who are in like the STEM research and sciences, and like talking about mental health with them.
All right, thank you guys so much. We have more questions, but if anyone else has any later on, you guys can reach out to them directly, the context of their assembly. Thank you guys so much. All right, we will now go to the development aspect resolution. So this resolution is called for establishing a task force, basically designed to promote method task system reform, and also it aims to collaborate on efforts between the SA and also the RSC, because RSC is basically tackling the site where they want to expand method accessibility in like West like locations where there aren't cameras right now. And also like what I am focusing on right now is basically the pricing scheme and also policies such as making it more accessible for students to find different locations on the Cornell website, and also making it easier for people to get refunds for misprinted pages and stuff like that. So I think this task force will be very helpful in collaborating and consolidating those efforts. And also there is an index A attached to this B basically describes the structure of the task force and how we would make the task force so that it would best represent the body. And A, Ethics A basically explains the results from a survey that I ran online. It had 641 respondents, all undergraduates. And it basically outlines what people think about the veteran system. And it also has a section where I outline research findings from peers. Explain why this task force exists. All right, speakers list. Sarah?
Hi, first of all, this is amazing and beautiful. I just want to say great work. But regarding the task force itself, I just a question, like, why don't we just try the right resolution to change it ourselves instead of going to a process and trying to staff it and everything? This work seems pretty holistic, and why wouldn't we just like make the recommendation straight to the administration?
I think it's because basically the issue is pretty complicated, and also the RC is also working on this right now. I talked to the RC, and she basically said that RC had some efforts to expand the print locations, and that is not something I really thought about before, and so I think that would be helpful. And also, if you see on Appendix B, like the scope of this task force is pretty large, and I think it would be more effective if we ran with more surveys and also like further research on how we should improve the system before submitting a resolution to recommend that
going to like to take some action. So I think that the president is going to be on the paper.
What's that?
Yeah, like Sarah said, this is very amazing and I fully support this 100%. My question is that your section two, right, with your task force, it says it should comprise of at least 12 undergrads, but like if you have at least one, but if you have at least one member that is more than 12, then you want 12 students or less. So like, do you want one member from every constituent that you listed, or do you want less than 12?
No, it would be less than 12 because I don't want the task force to get too big because that would be just hard to manage. So it should be under 12 students, and also like it would be optimal if we have a member from like each college and each president's hall, but if that's not possible, we'll deal with what we have and with that.
Thank you.
Rune?
Yeah, I think this is great. We've all seen this before. You brought it up, or J1 brought it up last semester, so this is nothing new. And everyone supported it then. And the only difference now is that we actually, like, back then we did pass it for the creation of this ad hoc committee, but the issue was that we actually needed to vote on a resolution to create an ad hoc committee. So, like, we did circumstance without the actual substance. So I just think that it's important that we can just do this pretty quickly now that we've already had these discussions before. Another thing, I think that this would be a great thing that we can advertise on Sunday Club Fest, because we'll be able to just like advertise the opportunity for individuals from each college and each sort of location. And on top of that, we're able to address a marketing campaign as well.
Is there anyone here to say? Say your dissent. Myra, or okay. Did you make your motion to go? You're voting to say.
I made a motion to say.
We'll go back to the speakers list. Next is Becca.
Yes.
Hey. First of all, thank you for doing this. I know this is one of your campaign promises, and so I'm glad that you're sticking to them. I have a concern about particularly line 58, where it says that the committee will meet at least once every month. I don't have a motion to amend. I just have a recommendation for you as the chair of the committee. As a person who chairs two committees on this assembly, I know that meeting once a month is not nearly enough to do anything substantial because just bureaucratic things and commitment things and that sort of those sort of things. So that was my main comment. You don't have to amend it. I'm just like letting you know that you might want to meet more often.
What time is it? This is what?
58.
Okay. I'm also. Myra, it's your turn again if you want to. Myra, you're next on the speaker's list, but you have anything else to add?
Motion to amend. So line 58 says. Instead of at least once every month, at least twice every month.
Any objections? All right, all in favor? Nice. All those against? Abstentions? 520-1. The amendment passes, and the language will be changed from once, at least once a month, to at least once, at least twice a month.
Second.
Yes.
State your dissent. Do you make any motion?
All right. Next is Taurus. Okay, perfect. So.
I just know as a committee, it's gonna like take a while to like staff it and like get everything running and find people who are interested, especially because like task net systems have been found as well as like infrastructure committee. So what if we were to put this in a task force under a committee that we already have? But, like, maybe infrastructure, maybe academic policy, but a committee that's already staffed, so we can just work like committee members who are already like on the committee support. Process, we
could
just
save
time.
I have a question. So RSC is already on board, right? Okay, do you guys foresee stepping as a problem as far as time goes?
So if I could just add to that, that is one of the main reasons I could develop undergraduate students for less, not like at least 12, because I think it would be good enough if we just staff as we go, and I think it's important that we have like people on the task force who are actually interested in this issue. I don't think it's more like an issue of quantity. I think it's like we need that people are actually interested and like will come to the meetings and propose ideas. So that is the reason why I said or less. So yeah.
Next is Dale.
Yeah, so guys, there are several, there's only a few people on speakers list, I'm gonna recognize them all. So, Dale.
So I just had two comments. One is, I kind of wanted to ask now, if you wanted me to email the committee chairs after, asking them to ask all their committee members, because any of them are interested in the committee?
Yeah, no.
And the second comment I have is, I wanted to suggest to you maybe striking the college requirements, unless I missed an explanation of why you wanted one from each of the eight colleges, because I feel like you already have the housing requirements and that might actually constrict you in getting a low number of qualified people, because let's say you have three people from Dyson that all want to be on the committee, why would you say no?
I do see concern that like this might restrict people from doing the task force, but the reason I put this in is because like some of the colleges already so like that was kind of an issue when we ran the survey. Like people had concerns about like how we would deal with this issue if like some are already like offering pre-printed credits. So like would that go away or would they still keep it but like add more credits to it? So that is one of the concerns I wanted to kind of spy in this. But yes, I do see potential concerns. So we think like ideally we would have like people from different colleges, but I don't think this requirement like has to be met, like because we just need to have people under like we just need to have members under 12 non-graduate students. So as long as we have some people like from I don't know like a few colleges, like that would be nice.
So you actually see this more as a suggestion than a mandated requirement that you can't have more of that from each college and graduate center?
Yes, I think the language could be change there from at least one member to actually can't think of one right now, but but I didn't mean that like at least one person from each college should be on the task force, but like ideally it would.
Okay. I'm going to the next speaker. It's Joe.
Yeah, so I guess it's not really like something formal, but I would say like a really big suggestion for you is also, a really big suggestion for you is to really manage your people well. 12 as a task force is really big in my opinion. I don't really like working with 12. I'm much more preference to like 9, but that's me. Committee should not be big. So I would say really manage it well, really know your time. So I guess something is a thing, it confuses me because it's not really written that says there can be overlap on membership criteria. Like the way I read it is like there needs to be one from all of these, and that was like 17 people. I was like, that's not correct, because that's a 12. And so I guess it doesn't really need to be specified in this document. So yeah. Now it doesn't.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Next is Siobhan.
Yes, so in terms of finding people to staff the committee, since this is being done with Residential Student Congress, and we have somewhere between 35 and 50 members, I do think that you'll, like, any concerns about finding people to sit on this committee, hopefully that you feel better about them, because we've got plenty of folks who would be interested in joining, and then if y'all are also recruiting at HubFest, then I think numbers will be good for Marvin and recruitment. So.
Thank you. Next is Ian.
I was wondering how you plan to staff the committee, whether members would be picked by staffing committee or by appointment through a student assembly or RSC.
So I first wanted to appoint members from the SA. So on the resolution on line 62, it says that the SA appoints members to the task force during the nearest executive session, which would be like today after the passage of this resolution. So I wanted to give priority to SA members who want to join. And then I think we could open it to the entire community and then just like have members who meet these guidelines as outlined in the
list. All right, next is Becca.
I'm just concerned that the task force is just so bureaucratic. It's like, it's your whole presentation is great. I just feel like it's unnecessary. RSC is already doing something right in that point. I feel like also with staffing it, I mean, NetPrint task force, isn't that like lucrative that people are going to be trying to get in? That's all my concerns. It's a good task force, it's unnecessary.
Yeah, like, I don't know. So I'm going to jump second speaker to this. Chris?
I think it's a really good idea because in my experience working with the administration, you need a very, very consistent, concerted effort. And I think like a task force is an amazing way to actually achieve that. So I think if you actually want to change that, hardworking body like this. I have like one suggestion. I don't really probably consider this in response to what Dale said and Joe said is that they used to be one of the representatives in college. I know that certain colleges pay much more than other colleges, so it might make sense to reduce this, like, I don't know, either eliminate the requirement completely, but you know, maybe somehow take into consideration that maybe this is wrong, but I think that arts and science depends much more than maybe engineers, and you know, try to modify the consistency of the members of the task force based on that and the requirements. Put some thought into that.
If you want to speak, you can come up and speak to the mic.
I don't know if this was already asked and I just didn't hear the answer, but I guess my question is why not just write a resolution and present it to the SA instead of like making a task force? Like, what would be the purpose of the task force if you already know the direction you want to move the next? Why not just like write that on paper, make a resolution?
So the reason was because I wanted to approach this in a more comprehensive way. So as I mentioned, the RSC is working more on increasing the accessibility of printers in different forms. And the main focus of my original idea was on the pricing scheme and also like different policies, like how do you find printers easily and how do you request refunds for misprinted pages. And I think the task force would be the optimal structure for that because as I mentioned in the resolution, so this is on line 51. So actually I added an exclusivity clause here that all future efforts of the SA to restructure the NetPrint task force, NetPrint system be done through the task force. And that was because I wanted to create like a single point where the IT, kernel IT and the administration could work with the SA. So we don't want like different members talking to different people on the IT. I think it would be very important for us to have like a designated liaison that can talk to the IT people and like actually figure out solutions. So
Yeah, and also I'm gonna just comment not as president, but just like my personal opinion. It can be just as a resolution, but then as Gerald said, when I read this report, which is very well written, there's like a lot of goals that the task force wants to encompass, including price incentives for double-sided printing, environmental businesses, things like that. But that requires actually serving not just students, but also having a lot of conversations with administrators in charge of that program and things like that. And I think this is the most efficient way of making sure that there's a solid response from the administration for this initiative compared to just any other solution. Next is both side.
So I think we're kind of overthinking this a little bit in terms of like the concerns of bureaucracy and staffing, because like if hundreds of people and like took the survey, then I'm pretty sure that you can find like a subset of people who are really interested in this anyway. And we already have a lot of committees that are dedicated to fixing like specific issues. So I think adding this one is very productive, and there's absolutely no reason to post this at all.
Thank you.
Yeah, so
thanks.
Okay, yeah, so all those in favor of passing this resolution, raise your hands when you can.
All those against? Abstentions? Ours? Okay, so what? So we missed 18, 1 to 2, it passes. Congratulations. Before we adjourn, I do want to Jaylon, he put up some of my notes into this. If you guys look at the presentation, this is by far the best report I've ever seen done by any of the assembly members. So I think, thank you for it. All right, so we have exhausted the agenda. Can I have a motion to adjourn? All right, just a second.
Adjourn.
Into the session. So thank you guys. Can the members of the public please leave the room? Thank you for staying. This is the executive session, which is chaired by.
All right, before we go into internal elections, I just wanted to explain because I think, of course, the new members might not know yet, and people may never have learned last semester. At the beginning of each meeting,